We may have been born too late to explore the Earth and too early to explore space, but we are born just in time to watch some great Godzilla films. On the one side, you've got Legendary Pictures. They've been cranking out halfway decent King Kong and Godzilla movies for a decade now. There's enough now for any studio's dream, their own extended universe. Then there's Godzilla Minus One, which masterfully brought the original's chilling destruction and grim overtones back into American theaters. So let's explore what Legendary Pictures could learn from their Oscar-winning rivals, as well as the common Hollywood pitfalls they desperately need to avoid. What will they need to do to keep the big green monster on movie posters for another decade? But is it going to work, or is Minus One and its harrowing allegory spoil people's appetites for carnage? Well, there's a whole lot of differences between the monsters we see in the Legendary Pictures Monsterverse and Godzilla Minus One, but if you have to pick out one core distinction, it's how much the Western movies have anthropomorphized Godzilla, Kong, and all the rest. As the series of films have progressed, the creatures have gone from forces of nature and destruction to the begrudging defenders of humanity. They have motivations and relationships with other characters that go beyond just stepping on them. In the 2019 film Godzilla, the King of Monsters, the antagonist King Ghidorah even has his own evil plan. He's gone full General Zod, trying to terraform the planet for his own benefit. They've added all of these human explanations and character traits that go towards explaining their actions. They were always part of King Kong, even in his first film, but for Godzilla, these changes are a step away from the original depiction and the route that Godzilla Minus One took. They might not be heroes yet in every sense of the word, but they're on the path. The trailers for Godzilla X Kong have gone full Marvel. They're showcasing scenes of two monsters working together and running in battle. Kong even hitches a ride on Godzilla's back. It even looks like Kong is now going to get his own Infinity Gauntlet. And we'll get into why this might be a problem for the Monsterverse later in this video, but what are they missing that Godzilla Minus One portrayed so perfectly? In both the original 1954 version and the Oscar-winning reimagining, Godzilla is completely inhuman. There aren't any explanations for what he does, we can't ever truly understand him. There isn't some higher goal he's trying to achieve with his actions. Instead, he's the malevolent embodiment of destruction and chaos. Even applying agenda to Godzilla is incorrect when you're talking about the original. None of the characters even go that far in either film. But it's small details like this that highlights the major difference between the Monsterverse films and the Japanese Godzilla. Godzilla Minus One feels much more like a war film than a monster film. The main characters are the people, and we see the world from their point of view. Godzilla is more like the war itself than just simply being another character. He's a deadly force which the actual characters have to contend with. The Monsterverse could have doubled down on the themes and the human character struggles, but it was a wise decision not to. Nobody really cares about Monarch, for example, the organization trying to either kill or protect against giant monsters. People won't be sitting in the theater eager to see where the plotline goes next. The people making the films know they're just delivery systems for CGI monster fights. So far, this is a policy that has doomed the Monsterverse films to 6-star ratings. They can easily afford to skim over the writing and the characters, but that's not what the people are there for. They're making popcorn films. It isn't surprising to see Legendary Pictures emulating other extended universes that did the job so well. They're clearly playing more into Marvel, which could pay off in a big way. Ever since the MCU ground to a halt, there's been a gap in the market for a different kind of CGI fight delivery system. Martin Scorsese once compared Marvel films to a roller coaster ride. He wasn't praising them. He was stating the simple fact that they're more like a fairground ride than an actual film. This same kind of film has dominated box offices for years though. The Fast and Furious series is a great example that worked for 11 films straight. If Hollywood can find a good formula to give audiences big action scenes over and over again, they're gonna do it as many times as possible. It serves a clear need in the market. People just want to switch off and watch a fun movie. In a world of films where there always needs to be some larger message or grim warning, it's nice to see a film that's just about monster fights. If Legendary Pictures remembers this, they can't go too wrong. This is what films like Transformers did right, despite their major flaws. Not many properties have that same kind of staying power though. Legendary Pictures needs to avoid falling into the same traps that the MCU blindly wandered into. When they lost most of the original characters, the ones that people actually liked at least, it was pretty much already over. The same thing won't literally happen for Godzilla. Obviously, the actor playing him won't get sick of the films and move on to new projects. A CGI monster doesn't have that problem. But if Godzilla and Kong themselves change too much, then it could detract from the films. We're already seeing them acting more like large superheroes than skyscraper-crushing monsters. If either of them start wearing a cape, then it'll all be over. In all of the scenes of carnage, there are moments where biology turns into physics. The characters experience forces thousands of times more powerful than themselves, and they're simply swept away. If you've ever been in a car crash or any similar kind of accident, then you'll know how it feels to confront this. We can't truly comprehend the fact that everything you are can be wiped away in an instant. It's a bone-chilling thing to go through, and it breaks the illusion of control over the world that society and our technology gives us. Our ancestors, scratching out a living in the harshest of environments, were well acquainted with this. They dealt with these dangers and threats every day. But in the modern world, we only really have modern problems, and it can be easy to forget the thin line between safety and tragedy. When we're reminded of it, it awakens a primal fear within us. That feeling of insignificance in the face of overwhelming force and destruction is just part of what the original Godzilla represents. It might seem obvious that Godzilla films need to treat Godzilla himself with care, but there's other things Legendary Pictures will need to do to keep their cinematic universe alive. One big problem is that a lot of the time it doesn't feel like it matters who actually wins the big monster fights. Instead, it's only the spectacle itself that people care about. As we've already discussed, just spectacle alone can take you pretty far, but it's still something that's limiting the series' potential. Legendary Pictures could solve this by giving the audience an actual reason to care about the outcome. Godzilla Minus One accomplished this in a few different ways. One of the sticking points with Godzilla films and monster films in general has been how you treat the human characters. Some films treat them like it's a slasher movie. The characters are mostly just fodder for the monster. The scenes with them are also fodder, just something to pad out the 10 minutes of monster footage into a full film. Their development usually only serves to set up an ironic death or make their demise feel justified in some way. That's if there's any development at all. Directors and writers making these kinds of films assume that the carnage is enough of a draw, so people don't need anything else. One striking aspect about Minus One that shocks so many people is how effectively it uses the humans in the film. Every main character has depth, a believable story, and realistic emotions. They react to the trauma of their lives like real people, and Godzilla only really stands in as a manifestation of that trauma. Because Godzilla is a representation of these people's fears, the whole film rests not just on him, but on how the people react towards him. If we take a second to go back to the recent Western Godzilla films, it's a bit different. It feels like the story is really about Godzilla and Kong. They're the ones in the title. But neglecting the human characters detracts from the whole experience and makes it hard to care at all about the people getting crushed. The way the studios are forcing these films to be more like Marvel films has only made this worse. Now the humans act like the normal human characters in superhero movies. They get their own side quests suitable for their abilities. The monsters who are the real main characters are the ones who actually drive the plot. With each successive film, the human characters, the side plots, and ham-fisted theme about how we treat nature have mattered less and less. A few movies in, and they feel like third wheels in a day between King Kong and Godzilla at this point. So long as the fights are fun to watch though, people will be willing to put up with a bit of filler. They're starting to really lean into what people actually want out of these movies, to see massive monster fights on the big screen. That's what Legendary Pictures have been pushing the films towards. It's gotten to the point that the human characters aren't even necessary. Max Borenstein has gone on record talking about it. In an interview in 2021 with Slash Film, this is what he said about that possibility. It would be very ambitious. I think ambitious in that Mad Max Fury Road kind of way. I think it's totally possible to do that with the absolute minimum amount of human characters and really characterize the creatures. Even though Godzilla X Kong is going to be the first installment in the franchise, without Borenstein working on it, it's clear they're still going in this direction. Giving Kong a family, his own power glove, and a Godzilla to ride around on only cements that fact. It would certainly be the final nail in the coffin for the MonsterVerse's environmental message. While it was so inconsequential before that people might not even notice it's gone, it'll still be a point in the film's favour. It's not that having a message in a film is really a bad thing in general. In fact, the best films nearly always have some kind of hidden meaning. The real problem comes in when it's a basic humans bad, earth good message. Godzilla Minus One and its allegory for the trauma of war works so well because it's told through the story of the human characters. But when Hollywood films tack on some tired old message we've heard hundreds of times, there's never a reason for it past padding out the runtime. People know by now what movie they're getting into, so there isn't any real reason to lecture them instead. It'll be much more effective for Legendary Pictures to follow this path all the way if they're gonna try. The more sidelined the human characters are, the less they need to be there. So it might well be better to just cut them out entirely and let the monsters reign supreme. The only problem is that it could damage the actual core of the film, the effects. Focusing solely on the big CGI monsters is gonna eat into their budget in a huge way. The more screen time they get, the more they'll have to spread out the budget. CGI is incredibly important for these films. So let's explore why Hollywood's been so terrible at it recently and how Legendary Pictures could avoid their mistakes. Now, good effects are mandatory for these kinds of films. They're the baseline on which everything else rests. And part of what made Godzilla Minus One so great was that it accomplished blockbuster levels of immersion with less than 10% of the budget. Behind the scenes footage shows how a team of only 35 people could do this. For all of the ship scenes, for example, they only used one small practical set which they manipulated to create every other scene. Usually if a Hollywood production wanted to make a rolling boat and crashing waves, they'd use a massive hydraulic platform that actually moves the actors. Instead, the director used camera tricks and the movement of the actors, saving them millions. The strength of the CGI is what makes these tricks work. They didn't have nearly enough money for real water in most of the scenes, but you would be hard-pressed to notice that it's nearly all computer-generated. It makes it all the more impressive when you realize that the director's background is all in VFX. The way he blended old-school tricks with the latest VFX technology is a huge part of the movie's success. The Legendary Pictures films are a step behind when it comes to the CGI. Even with so much money to work with and all of Hollywood's infrastructure, infrastructure still doesn't compare. Part of what makes Godzilla Minus One so effective was the sparing use of Godzilla himself. If you can successfully use the audience's imagination, then it will be more effective than 1,000 VFX artists. In Godzilla X Kong, you might see a whole lot more of the titular monsters. They'll be jumping around doing karate moves and smashing buildings, but every unnecessary second erodes the sense of unexplained mystery and danger that makes Godzilla work. It's still astounding that despite how much more money Hollywood threw at the problem, a movie with a $15 million budget still looks so much better. So what's going on behind the scenes that led us here? Well, there's a lot of dysfunctional, archaic practices going on. If there weren't, then outsiders who are willing to innovate couldn't have beaten them so badly. One way in which Hollywood has dropped the ball is their treatment of the people actually making the majority of their films now. The humble VFX artists, which actually make these films possible, are far too low on the hierarchy compared to their input. If they had more power to guide the protection of the movie from the start, they can make the job far easier for themselves. That's what made Minus One's effects so realistic. They were all planned out and managed by someone who's an expert in the art form. In Hollywood, for contrast, VFX artists are expected to keep completely silent, never voicing their concerns to outsiders, and generally have to just deal with what the executives ask for. Animation studios are often so overworked that they're booked for years in advance, and studios often add scenes to projects with barely any notice, demand incredibly fast work, and have unrealistic expectations for the finished product. Most of the effects aren't thought out before production either. They'll just stick two people in front of a green screen, have a basic layout of the scenery, then add everything in later on. But of course, this means far more work for the VFX artists. Despite the entire movie resting on their shoulders, the artists aren't paid well at all, especially compared to the work they accomplish. The studios themselves are constantly bidding for contracts, and inevitably studios often choose the cheapest option, as they don't require companies to offer paid overtime for the artists. It means that the studios exist in a perpetual state of crunch, working animators to the bone to hit incredibly tight deadlines. Marvel were possibly the worst offenders for this change in how movies are made, so bad in fact that the VFX artists have uncharacteristically come out and said how much they hate working for them. This is what one artist said in an interview with Gizmodo. Marvel is the worst example of a lot of problems in the industry. It would be one thing if sometimes it was really bad, sometimes it wasn't. But with Marvel, it seems like every single minute is the same thing. So, one, they tend to be as bad as you're going to get, and they're consistently that bad. It was practices like this that led to Doctor Strange's infamous third eye, or the floating head in Thor Love and Thunder. In fact, the whole wave of bad CGI that we saw in 2023 can be attributed to an industry-wide burnout. Even with 10 times the budget, it's hard to see Legendary Pictures outdoing Godzilla Minus One in the effects department. They're working through an incredibly overworked and inefficient system. The various VFX studios working on the film will need to do far more shots, build the backgrounds and everything else by themselves, and won't have enough time for any of it. The solution seems obvious, but the red tape and old-fashioned practices of Hollywood mean it will never be implemented. If they could just hand over the management to the people in charge of making the majority of the movie, these films would perform way better. The fights are what people are there for. Godzilla and King Kong are what people are there for. It seems insane not to prioritize the people who bring them to life and give them some real power. So these are the problems that Legendary Pictures are going to have to deal with. It's not an easy thing to get a cinematic universe running. Where titans like Universal Pictures failed with their awful Mummy remake in 2017, Godzilla succeeded. But ever since Skull Island in 2014, and it seemed like a slow downward slope with falling revenues and faltering review scores. And we'll have to wait and see whether Godzilla X Kong is the last in the series, or if it will beat people's expectations and save the MonsterVerse.